Okay, okay, good, Brenda, thank you for that. What are some things that we celebrate? What now?
Birthdays,
we celebrate birth. What is one of the most common things we do at birthdays? Yes, we have cake and ice cream. That's true. That is true. Anything else? Is there anything else that happens at a birthday party?
Sing!
We sing. Happy birthday. And have you ever been at a birthday party where you don't know the name of the person you're singing happy birthday to? Happy birthday, dear. I've been to a couple of those. Man, there's something about, you know, I tell you what, when July 4th comes around, nothing touches my heart like Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American. I love that. I mean, there's just something about that. When he sings that song, man, it just grabs your heart, right? There's something about singing. And isn't it great when together you hear a large stadium singing something? Man, there's nothing more powerful than that. When I was kids pastoring, one of my favorite things to do is when we would gather at camp is to hear the kids together singing songs to the Lord. There's nothing more powerful than a group of kids singing to Jesus. And there's something incredibly powerful about that. Listen, when we sing together on a Sunday morning, we're doing something powerful. Yeah. There's something about singing that when you read through the Bible, there's something about singing that unlocks the heavenlies. There's something about when we sing, and listen, if I were to sing versus talk the lyrics to you, it has a different feel, doesn't it? For example, baby, 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 oh. Baby, 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 oh. Doesn't do a whole lot, does it? But baby, 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 oh. Like, I know the shoulder moves that did it for you guys, okay? There's something about singing something that just has a whole different feel to it, right? There's something about when we come together and we celebrate. That when we come together and we sing, and I love the songs that we sang this morning. Listen, were the songs that we sang this morning talking about how horrible our lives all are? I love that song says, come and complain. Listen, when we sing, we sing heavenward. There's something about when we lift our heads up and our eyes up that it takes our eyes and our focus off of what's going around us. And as a church, it makes us look heavenward. Man, what a great thing for a church to do, look heavenward. To who their answer is, to the one that they can praise, and we're going to explore that today. Our word for today, we've been going through the seven words of praise in Hebrew praise. Last week we talked about Yada and what Yada was. This week we're talking about Hallel. Now, if you're really Hebrew, you're going to throw some phlegm at the beginning of that one. Okay? For those of you that like Hawk and Loogies, that would be a great way to start that word. Hallel. Some of you were a little too good at that just now. That scares me. But the Hebrew word Hallel, it means to extol, to praise, to bless. It's where we get our word Hallelujah. If you would go with me just for a little bit here, I'm going to nerd out on a word for a second, okay? But the Hebrew word Hallelujah, we're going to break it up. Hebrew words are read backwards. How many of you know that? When you look at a Hebrew word, you read it backwards. And the way this word is broken down, Hallel, everybody say Hallel, you, Yah. Okay, we're going to break this. So Hallel means to extol, to bless, to all, and then you means two or more. The word you there means two or more. So extol, to bless, two or more. And if we put that in the modern English version, it means y'all. All y'all, to be exact, you know. So bless the Lord, all y'all. Okay? Now, Yah, it's interesting. In Hebrew, they would shorthand Yahweh. They they didn't believe in speaking audibly the name of Yahweh. So it was spoken in a couple of ways. They would either literally whisper it in a, not even a word, but a, like that. Or they would shorthand it, and the shorthand would just be Yah. So we're going to put the hallelujah, we're going to put that word together. Hallel, I will extol, I will bless, I will lift on high, all y'all, the Lord. In other words, together, this is a corporate worship term. This is a term where, hey, everybody, let's get together, and all of us, let's lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how that word's broken out. And so we're going to explore Hallel, which is the first part of that word. I was watching on YouTube, which is the modern day Encyclopedia Britannica, in case you were wondering. By the way, how many of you just really miss Encyclopedia Britannica? It was so much fun exploring that thing as a kid. And now we have Google and all of that, and it just blows my mind. And watching on YouTube, I was just watching some videos on Hallel type of praise. And there was this large group of Jewish men at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And they were Hallel, and in the Hebrew culture, Hallel was always connected to some sort of celebration of a festival. They would Hallel at Passover. They would Hallel at all the festivals. They would come together, and the way they would Hallel was loud, boisterous praise. They would come together, and this group of men on the Western Wall, they started kind of singing, you know, and heads kind of bopping. And it's all a cappella, and they're all singing together on tune, which is a miracle in and of itself. And they're all singing on the Western Wall, and as they sang, and you could tell whatever it was they were singing, it was some sort of recited scripture. And they began chanting this in Hebrew, and the more they chanted it, the more boisterous they got, the louder that they got. And then what started happening was the, I guess in the USA, I forget what we would call it, the rabbit hop, where you grab somebody's shoulder in front of you and you start walking around our circle and hopping around, and they're doing that, and they're getting louder and louder. And then what they start doing is they put somebody on somebody else's shoulders and start doing like chicken fighting in the middle of this whole thing. And they're getting louder and louder and louder. And what was interesting about this is you didn't have anybody saying to them, hey, guys, it's time to stand. And hey, guys, could you just sing out this morning? And hey, don't be afraid to get loud. Nobody had to do that. It was a culture where you don't have to get a cheerleader up there to get everybody all pumped up. And they're just doing this. And that is Hallel-style praise of coming together and getting excited about who their God is and what he's done. And not being ashamed of that. And church, I want to encourage you, it's okay to get excited about what God is and what he does. It's okay to lift up the name of the Lord. It's okay to get a little bit loud when we think about all that God has done for us. And that's what Israel would do, is they would come together and they would Hallel praise at these celebrations. You know, at our American celebrations, they're a little different. And we celebrate things that really, some of them really aren't worth celebrating. But here you have this country getting together and singing the praises of all that God has done. And when they would get together in Hallel, they would sing this group of psalms. Psalms 113 through 118. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. You can look up at the screen. I think we might have them. I'm not sure. We're going to highlight a couple of these things. And I'm not going to ask your permission, but we're going to read through five psalms today. I know, I always kind of struggle, like, if I read too much Bible, am I going to put people to sleep, like turn the gas on in the church and just watch everybody? But I do believe that the Word of God is alive and active, and it's for us today, not just something that was read back then. But when they would get together for these festivals, they would read aloud, and think about this. I was watching this other teaching about how they would do these psalms. And what the narrator said is, a good rabbi will sing melodies as he's reading these psalms. like on the spot. We'll develop kind of like a rhythm to it. And this wasn't. Sometimes when we read the Bible, it's like all of a sudden our voices turn monotone. Have you ever noticed that? Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. I remember in kids' church. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Some of you remember. Oh, man, growing up in kids' church, some of you remember this, okay? There was this kids' church song. Be, hallelujah, 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 praise ye. Some of you know this. Some of you that have never been in church before, you're like, they're weird. Yes! We saw this meme on Facebook that someone's saying in the meme, it's like, hey, come to my church, it's not weird. And then my church, and then it's these three people doing this just awful, horrible, weird dance, and come to my church, it's not weird. And you have, them coming together, and they're singing out these psalms. Psalms were meant to be sung. And so they're not just reading through this. They're looking at this, and the song is coming out. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can anybody think of some songs, even just right there, that maybe we've sung in a church before? We're going to go through these, and I'm going to do a little bit of a quiz. Any of you have spent any time in a church anywhere, as we read through some of these, if you can look at, I've sang a song with that in it. So we're going to do something. We're going to do a little bit of crowd participation. Are you ready for this? If I'm reading through these and you recognize a song, I want you to shout out the name of that song. And if I'm the only one that does it, then I'll do it. Okay, all by myself. All by myself. I sing that a lot. Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. Anybody got a song yet? Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Paul Balash wrote a song about this. From the rising of the sun till the going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. There's a song from the 80s that I think of just with this one. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Anybody heard that one? And the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Whenever you would see that phrase in the Old Testament, the barren mother, it's almost always referring to Sarah and Hannah and Rebecca. That in the Jewish culture, they look at those as the mothers of Israel. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This Psalm 113, it starts with praise the Lord. It ends with praise the Lord. That's a good way to start and end praise. If you're wondering, how does this thing work? This is a great model. Psalm 113, what Psalm 113 does is it just starts attributing praise to God. The psalmist is just lifting praise to the Lord. God, you're great. Wow, you're amazing. Then we go to Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. There's a song we actually sing here that I think of every time I read something like this. Can anybody think of maybe what it is? Anybody know? Anybody know? Like, I feel like playing Name That Tune. In da 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 anybody? You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory, hallelujah. Talking about the passage of Israel through the Red Sea. I want you to, for the Israelites, the Red Sea is a big deal. It's a big deal. This psalm is them remembering what God did for them, how God delivered them out of captivity and into freedom. Man, that should be the song of all of our lives that live in Jesus. I remember when you brought me out of captivity and you set my feet on dry land and I am free and I can sing and shout. And for Israel, this is something that they would do with these celebrations. They would come together and remember their freedom. God, thank you for what you did. God did something that no man could do. I don't know if you've tried parting waters lately. It's hard. It's really, really hard. Have you ever just tried standing in a current? Especially if you're not skinny. Have you ever tried that? It's hard, let alone stopping an entire body of water coming at you. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, always a reference to Israel, from a people of strange language, which is interesting about that phrase, is as long as Israel was in captivity, the 400 years, they never forgot their language. Man, when you've been in a society, what's interesting about the New Testament is you had Roman rule, Greek culture, Greek language. And here you have Israel referencing that all the times we were in captivity, we never forgot our native tongue. Never forgot it. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hill like lambs. It's talking about an earthquake there. What ails you? I love when God asks rhetorical questions. We'll see this in Job. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. This comes from another psalm, but there's a song that I used to sing in high school that, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Lord, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Da, da. And the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. And some of you, man, there's something about like speaking something, but something about like when you're going through something, there's something about singing out. Even if you can't sing, sing anyway. Let the song of your heart come out so that when the mountains are around you and surrounding you, you begin to sing the praises of the Lord and the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Does your prayer life look like that? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. What's interesting about this is, you know, we'll reference some of these stories as great Bible stories. Listen, for Israel, they would come together and sing about, remember when God turned a rock into water? Like, they all get together and sing about that. You know, think about it. Wouldn't it be interesting if us as a church today got together and sang about what God has done for our church? We're debt free. We're debt free. Okay, I'm the only one singing that. Okay, cool. Because God provided. Isn't that a song worth singing? When God does something incredible. Psalm 115, the first line of it reminds me of a song sang back in early 2000s. Not to us, O Lord. Now, Psalm 114, it's attributing, remembering back to what God. If you remember last week when we talked about Yada, one of the ways that they praise is the same way. They started just singing out, God, you're great. God, you're incredible. You're amazing. And then they started singing out, God, we remember when you did this, this, and this, and this, and this. And we're seeing the same pattern here. God, you're amazing. Psalm 113, you're incredible. We're going to sing out to you, just your greatness. Psalm 114, we remember what you did for us and how you brought us out of slavery. We remember. Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. I don't know if any of you guys aren't humming out songs like I was asking earlier. But I'll go ahead and do it again. It's okay. But when I hear the first line, it's a Chris Tomlin song from the early 2000s. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. not to us. You know why songs are important too? We remember songs. We remember, we can go back to the 60s and the 70s, and we can remember songs, right? We can go back and go, we struggle remembering where we put our keys, but we can remember a song from the 60s, right? There's something about music and singing melodies that stick in here. We remember them. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. And then you can read on through. It starts to go into how man will build these idols. We'll make them out of gold and silver and all these other things. And they'll put them up, these cool little statues. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but statues aren't supposed to move. And the ones that do, you walk away from. And here, there's almost kind of a taunting going on, like, my God's bigger than your God. My God does whatever he wants. He goes wherever he wants to go. He created it all. Isn't it interesting what the contrast? God made us. You made your gods. Our God does whatever he wants to do. Our God made the raw material so that you could make your God. Your God doesn't care about you. Your God doesn't listen to you. Your God doesn't respond to you. Your God just stays there. And don't we do that in our modern times? Look at my truck. All hail HD Diesel. You know, trucks aren't very good at moving by themselves. Well, except for the one time that I left the car and drive when I got out of it with Emma in the back seat. God did a great miracle that day. But we worship inanimate objects, don't we? We pride ourselves in all sorts of man-made things, don't we, to this day? And we need to be a church that says, hey, that's all that stuff that God made so that you could build your idols, that's my God. My God does what he pleases. He created the heavens and the earth that they just talked about before. That's my God. And they move into that, and they're singing that. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Oh, God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Go down to verse 9. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. Listen, the world will put before us all sorts of things to trust in. I mean, not to scare anybody, okay? Not to bring fear into the room. But one bad earthquake and we're all swimming. You ever thought about that, anybody? Anybody? I mean, has that ever crossed your minds? Oh, that's never gonna break up there. We're good. Never gonna happen. And here we have, I mean, you know, how many times in our world's history has a man trusted in something that they made and it didn't hold up? That tower that they built didn't go so well in Genesis. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their fear. We're gonna do something real quick. One of the things that would happen in Hebrew praise too is somebody would say something and the people would repeat back to them. Can we do that just for a second? We're going to go over that passage again. I'm going to read, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I'm going to start out with, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You're going to read back, guess what? So we're going to try this, okay? O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and their shield.
He is their help and their shield. That was riveting. Boy, I could listen to an audiobook of that. Let's try it one more time. Let's try it one more time with a little bit of caffeine this time, okay? Did all of you have your caffeine before church today? Okay, no, thank you for your honesty. Here we go. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord.
He is your help and
your shield. That was so much better. You guys rocked it on that. By the way, anytime you hear a reference to, oh, house of Aaron, it's talking to the priests, the pastors. You who fear the Lord, he is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and their shield.
Anybody trust in the Lord in this place? The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. There's nothing better than singing the promises of God. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are true. And how many of you need to sing that every once in a while? I need to sing that. When I'm looking at a room with three kids. Hey, can I just get real for a second? When people are blaming you for destroying the kids' ministry, and I'm down there and I'm singing over three kids, all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are true. All your promises are yes and amen. And sometimes you just need to start singing it, even if your mouth has yet to believe it. You just start singing. Start praising when it doesn't make sense. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. Doesn't it feel good when somebody remembers your name? How many of you have met somebody and you forgot their name and then you saw them again? You're like, hey, person, individual. And there may have been times in your life where you felt like God doesn't even know my name. He has no clue what I'm going through. Stand on the promises of God that the Lord has remembered you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your house. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear. There's something about when I start reading about God wanting to bless his people that starts to stir up in me, God wants to bless. You know, it's okay to believe that God wants good things for you. And a lot of times as Christians, we want to be like, oh, I don't want to touch that because it gets into prosperity preaching. Listen, when your eyes are focused on the Lord and your blessing only comes from him and you're not trying to manipulate the blessing, which is what prosperity is. Prosperity preaching, if you ever listen to what they're doing, they're manipulating people. Listen, you don't have to manipulate the blessings of the Lord if you're living right. God wants to bless you. Like, turn to someone next to you and like say it like you mean it. Like, God wants to bless you. Like, God wants you to live a good life. Here's something crazy, because we have so much preaching against this in the church. I'm not going to talk about it today, but listen, it's okay if you're happy. Did you know that? Like, it's okay if you have a smile on your face. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to apologize if things are really going great in your life. And we kind of have this theology in modern-day Christianity that, hey, I'm not deeply spiritual if I'm not suffering. Are there components of that throughout your life? You better believe it. But listen, it's okay. It's okay to be like, listen, the Lord is blessing me. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's okay to say the Lord's blessing this church. It's not us. It's the Lord. As long as the focus is on the Lord. Where it runs into problems is, hey, look at me and what I did. And singing worship songs about you. How great is Devonio? Sing with me, how great. Not a whole lot of people singing that song. But when you attribute your blessing to God's provision, that's the right mentality and focus. God wants to bless you. Cal, God wants to bless Glacier Bible Camp. God wants to bless. God wants to bless Journey Church. How about we get happy for other churches that God blesses? God wants to bless. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He blesses those who fear the Lord. God's blessing comes with God. Listen, if you look through the Old Testament, God doesn't make things difficult. If my people, who are called by my name, what? Humble themselves. Like, God doesn't make it complicated. Man, if all we had to do is say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I'm in a situation. I don't know what to do. But I serve and worship the God who does. What a different way to think about anything you're going through. The Lord has remembered us. I love this. I love this spoken over. This is spoken over the nation of Israel in this halal celebration. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Man, don't you love it when things are spoken over to you that speak life into you and hope into you? May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen, if God made heaven and earth, God may be able to take care of you. You think so? The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into the silence. The actual translation of silence is Sheol. It was the place of the dead. It was where those who, there is some debate on this through different scholars, but Sheol was the place for those who didn't serve God that died and went to the place of the dead. I've been to that church. In contrast, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Man, have you ever gone to somebody who just is like the spiritually death around them everywhere they go? Like, oh, woe is me. Everything in my life is bad. Hey, everyone, come gather around and hear me complain. That's what like being around someone who's spiritually undead. Listen, I don't care what you're going through in your life. And listen, we all go through stuff. I'm not saying that we're immune to stuff, that we're immune to life. No, not immune to life. Going through something right now, not immune to life. But in the midst of that, I'm still going to bless the Lord. I'm still going to sing his praise. I'm going to still listen where I could complain. I'm going to praise. That doesn't mean be dishonest about what you're going through, but in the midst of it, be praising. And there's something about when that happens, when we start to bless the Lord, when we start to bring our focus on, no matter what it is that we're going through, we serve the God that's going to get us through. Amen. Psalm 116 changes gears here. Remember, this isn't a congregational setting. These praises, this halal praise that we're talking about, this is extolling and blessing the Lord. Are you guys reading and hearing blessing the Lord going on in these psalms? You don't read in these psalms, God, remember that time you almost showed up? How many of you have had that friend? Hey, I'm going to come over and help you move. I saw a meme, I'm not going to repeat it, but the gist of it was, hey, you're too old to ask your friends to come over and help you move for two pizzas and a couple pops. But he changes gears here now to this congregational praise, and it turns inward now. I mean, they've been doing this, all this lifting up and all this, God, you're the great creator. God, remember when you did this. God, remember, God. And now the praise internalizes. After you've gone through all this lifting up to the name of the Lord, all this remembering, all this, you know, some are going to trust in idols and do all these other things, Lord, we're going to trust in you. And now it comes to Psalm 116. Remember that most of these, as they're being sung, these people have memorized this stuff. They're saying that when I was watching that video of those guys singing, there wasn't anybody with a chord chart in front of them. They were all just singing this from their memory. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord. That's a great way to start out your day. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Really, what that's breaking down, God, thank you that you care about me. That we have a God that cares about you. Turn to someone next to you and say, God cares about you. That didn't look sincere at all, the two of you. Okay. And there's something about, like, when we had our leadership meeting a few weeks ago, one thing that kept popping up was, man, I want to be where people care about me. Doesn't that feel good when someone actually cares about you? And it's not the church of, here's a quarter, call someone who cares. I've been in that church. And anybody Gen Z is like, what's a quarter and who are we calling? Like, and there's something about knowing that this God who created everything cares about you and what you're going through. And I love the Lord because he cares about me. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. And I don't know if you've ever had a season in your life or whatever where it felt like this. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Have any of you ever suffered distress and anguish? Ever gone through a season in your life where you're like, God, I don't know how we're going to make it? I remember that God hears me. God cares about me. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered me. I sought the Lord and he heard. That's why I trust in. That's why I trust in God. Thank you, John. Only song suggestion that's come from any of you all service long. I sought the Lord and he heard. And he answered me, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered. The problem isn't if God answers. The problem is if you're willing to accept what his answer is. Right? He heard my pleas for mercy. I prayed, delivered my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. That word there, the simple, it just means people who just want to live their life for Jesus. People who are living what God has called them to do. If you notice, God's word pictures for following him are pretty simple in the Bible. Do the things I say. And any of us who've ever parented know that we'll give simple instructions to our kids, but somewhere from the words leaving our mouths to our kids' ears, it changes into German or something. Like, hey, clean your room means play more Xbox. Like, somewhere. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What a great way to live. I'm going to walk in the land of the living in my life. That no matter what it is that I go through, I serve the God that never fails, that he cares about me and he hears me. I'm going to walk in that promise. And there's something when you start to do that, that lifts up your soul. By the way, UCLA did some research on what being grateful of spending 15 minutes of your day being grateful does for you. They studied 26,000 people, which I think is a pretty good number to kind of gauge what stuff does. And they begin to follow people who just for 15 minutes a day just begin to show gratitude in their lives. Didn't matter what socioeconomic background that they had. And this is mind blowing. I read it like, what? People who did that for 15 minutes a day were happier. Thanks, UCLA. I had no clue. And there's something about, like as they were doing this, they started listening that do you know that people who just take 15 minutes a day to be grateful for something, over time, lower their blood pressure? Do you know that your blood pressure gets higher when you worry about stuff constantly? And I think I've heard something before UCLA. I think Jesus said something about that. Don't worry about your life or what tomorrow. I think Jesus kind of said something about that before UCLA did their study. Worry and anxiety lead to higher blood pressure. What they also found is that when you're grateful and you have gratitude, your heart rate slows down. Like, you start to relax a little bit. That when you are grateful, it puts your mind in a place where you're looking forward rather than down. Like, on the worst day of your, listen, on the worst hair day of my life, I can still say my wife loves me. No, I mean, how many of us have had a bad day, and you've had a bad day, and you just dwell on that bad day, you've become a human Eeyore. And that, listen, I've seen this, people who just constantly, like, there was a guy that I saw up at family camp this summer, and he walked over to my table. I'm going to be honest with you, he walked over to my table, and in my mind, I went, here we go. And something that happened, church hurt, that happened 15 years ago. And he's still talking about it today. Still. Hey, newsflash for you. If there's people in a church, you might get hurt every once in a while. Because we're human. You have leaders, this may come as a shock to you guys, but you have a pastor who's a human being. And I'm not perfect, and I get hangry. Or there may be somebody in our church that forgot your name, and I'm never going back to that church. That person didn't talk to me. Boy, and God is going to love hearing about that at the pearly gates. And I've said this before. We focus on, like, well, the church hurt me, or so-and-so hurt me, and so how many things do people go to in their lives where they get hurt over and over and they keep coming back? The guy at the ticket counter didn't remember my name. I'm never going back to the theater ever again. I was a Cats fan, and they were mean to me at Washington Grizzly Stadium. But we keep coming back. But for some reason in the church, well, so-and-so didn't remember my birthday from 3 years ago. I think I said before, there was these two sisters that went to church in Anacortes, Washington, where I was a youth pastor. And I did not know this until year two, that they were even related. They sat in the back of the church on these old wooden pews with no padding at all in this church. The church smelled like dust. And they sat in these two pews every Sunday, never talked to each other, never looked at each other. They're sisters. And because of a dispute that happened 30 years ago, they won't look at each other. And they almost attend church just to tick the other one off. What a great reason to go to church, right? Listen, when you live your life that way, it has physical things that will begin to happen to you. It has physical ramifications that when you just live your life in whatever happened to you that you can't get over, something about praise. Okay. My God is bigger than any of the stuff I've gone through. I have a God that is the lifter of my head. Do you think David had some things to complain about in his life? Do you think he struggled with depression at some point in his life? And here he is over and over throughout the Psalms. I'm going to bless the Lord. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Did he have some Psalms where he was like, man, God, this really stinks? Yes, he had those. But then he had, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me where I need to go. Man, he gives me good food. How many know you have a God that gives you good food? Psalm 117. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible. It's the shortest. And I'm just going to read it. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Are you beginning to see a pattern in these Psalms at all, anybody? For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Anybody who's ever been let down by anything or anyone should look at that verse and go, thank you, God, that you never leave me, you never forsake me. Your promises are yes and amen. Psalm 118, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We're going to do this one more time. You're going to repeat back to me. We're going to close with this. Are you guys okay with that? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then you're gonna go, like I would say with my kids after a fight, when they would say I'm sorry to each other, I would say it like you mean it. I want you to go, for his steadfast love endures forever. Can we practice this? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Whew. And you guys are warming up. I like that. Minute 45, we're getting there. I love it. Cool. Let's try it again. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say.
His
okay. Hold on. Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay. Let's try it one more time. Let Israel say.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say. Whew, what a great way to think of God every day, right? Let's just try it one more time. By the way, do you have something in your life to be thankful to God for? Okay, right? So let's practice this again. There's something about when we live our life like this in the pattern of giving thanks and the pattern of having gratitude to the Lord for what... Listen, if being grateful for your cat lowers your blood pressure, what do you think Jesus is going to do? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say.
His steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Whew. I thank you that you have answered me and you become my salvation. A prophecy here. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. What's interesting about that passage right there is that if you look at how the Hebrews would celebrate Hallel at Passover, Jesus would have read this to his disciples as he read Jesus saying this, the stone that the builders rejected, Jesus is reading this, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's Jesus saying that to his disciples. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord. There's something about that song that makes you happy. Just even if you're like, that's cheesy, it's 50 years old, but there's just something when you start, just wake up in your bed and this is the day. Oh, you morning, how many morning people do we got this morning? This is the day, this is, some of you are like, snooze. But some of you are pointing at each other like, stop. Lincoln Brewster song that I love that he does. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, there's just isn't there something about that that just lifts your head? Last one, last verse, and then we're done. I've got till 12, but I'm going to cut it short today. Wow, guys. Never mind, okay. For those of you that are new, we just changed our service time. We extended it back to 10 o'clock, and I promised I would preach shorter. Not doing that today. Verse 29. What a great way, listen, what a great way for us to end our services. What a great way for us to end our gathering and go, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Okay, we're going to practice this. I'm going to say, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And then you're going to say for his steadfast. Can we do that? And can we do it like, wow, let's end a service this way, saying, listen, of all the stuff going on in my life, his love endures forever. Can we do that? Just can you get out of your comfort zone for just 3 seconds? I'm telling you, when I was a kids pastor and I do stuff like this, these kids would blow my ears off. They had no inhibitions. They did not care about what the person said next to them. Now, some of you may need to turn down your hearing aids, and that's okay. But listen, let's do this. Are we ready? Yes. Like, let's begin. I'm telling you, when you watch Hebrew worship services, they're not quiet. I don't know if you knew that or not. I think somewhere in the mix of this, like Americans, we think of like Hebrew worship as like as Gregorian chant. No, that's not what they do. They're loud. They get up, they raise their hands, like as these guys I was watching on the Western Wall, as they were singing these halals, these psalms, man, some of them started just raising their hands. Some of them just started praising the Lord. Some of them got on each other's shoulders. Some of them started dancing. That was what a Hebrew worship service looked like. I was like, whoa. Like, it's okay to react to the goodness of God in a physical way. Can I just challenge your heart on something? Like, God loves us all, but man, if the Savior of the world has saved my soul for all eternity, and I'm gonna spend heaven with Jesus because of what he did on the cross for me and how his blood forgave my sins, I'm not gonna go, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures. I'm a man and men don't sing. I was kind of raised that way the first few years of my life. It wasn't until I saw Rosie Greer on TBN. Anybody know who Rosie Greer was? Rosie Greer was a defensive lineman. And I saw Rosie Greer singing. I'm like, if Rosie Greer can sing, maybe I can too. And then like singing's cool all of a sudden. You know, and I think of that, like Chris Tomlin's going, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. It's not meant to be whispered. Like, these aren't psalms. These halal psalms aren't meant to be, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we just give it a strong Baptist whisper. Like, there's something about, like, when we really say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Like, that good means really, really good. So check this out. I promise I'm closing with this. And some of you are like, please hurry. So hold on. Yesterday, I'm working on smoking meat. It's been kind of one of those things I've wanted to learn how to do. And I tried it about a month and a half or so ago. Absolute disaster. Unless you like rubber. Unless you like the taste of rubber and the texture of it, then it went great. And part of me at the time was like, you know, I'm never going to do this again. It's too hard, blah, blah, blah. So I tried it again yesterday. And I tried a different technique, and I tried just setting up my coals in a different way. I do it on a little Weber kettle thing, and I got my pork shoulder in the middle, and got it all seasoned up. And if you like good seasonings, there's a thing called Meat Church seasonings you can get. It's really good. And do it all with Meat Church and put it on the kettle, close the lid. I started at 10 a.m. And right at 5 p.m. it hit the magic number. Anybody know what the magic number is for pork shoulder? 205. 205 is the magic number. And I brought it in. And for any of you who've seen the movie where they prepare the turkey and it looks absolutely beautiful, and they're looking at everybody like, look at the turkey, and then they go to cut it and it implodes. I opened, and there's like this fear of, did it work out? Did it go okay? And I opened it up, and I looked at it, and it looked absolutely beautiful. It smelled really good. And then I took a plastic fork and began to peel back to see if that would work. It just started peeling back. It was the most tender meat I've ever eaten in my life. And I'm there going, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. Like, listen, if a piece of fully cooked meat makes me happy, what the Lord has done in my life should make me ecstatic. But some of us, like, we get excited about things that really aren't important. But listen, if when it comes to praising God, there should be something, hey, God, oh Lord, there's something that's been baking in my heart all day long, and I can't wait to get it out. And I can't, all those things that you've done have been cooking and working in my life. And man, God, thank you for what you did. My life tastes good. Let me close with this. What's the song of your life look like and sound like today? If you were to put your life into a song right now, what would the lyrics be? And we'll close with that. God, I just thank you so much for your goodness. God, I want the song of my life to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done in my life. God, like that old Southern gospel song says that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Does our life look like that? That no matter what you've been through, that no matter what's happened to you, maybe some of you feel like you have every right to live your life as a victim. And your life just sings out victimhood. Blame everybody else. But if you want to unlock something in your life, begin to just look up and praise the Lord. Begin to allow Jesus to heal you. What they found in this UCLA study is that 15 minutes of gratitude reduced depression and anxiety. Think about what God can do for you. Is my life a song of complaining? Is my life a song about how everybody else has a great life except for me? Or does my life say, God, I remember when you brought me out of this. God, I remember when you healed my mind. God, I remember the day that I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. I remember. God, I want to remind myself that this life on earth is temporary and eternity with you is forever. God, no matter what I'm going through, thank you that you love me. Thank you. I want to live a life of thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you what you've done in my life. Thank you that you've set me free. Jesus, thank you for a church family that loves me. Thank you for people that speak life into me. Just thank you, Jesus, for all the good you've done. God, help us to live life like that, that we can celebrate the goodness of God in our lives no matter what. God, help us change our perspective. To not always what's going on around us, but looking up to you. And in the midst of it all, just saying, God, I'm thankful today for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation so rich and so free. Thank you. Help us to leave this place with a heart of gratitude and our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And come Wednesday, we're having a great time doing the Bible Engagement Project. And come and just fellowship with other people at the table. And the next Friday, we're doing that movie. I invite you to be part of that. But God bless you guys. Halal.